6, 2 Chronicles chapter 26. You might be going through something today, but he's going to see you through it. Amen. He's going to see you through it and bring you out on the victory side. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And we're going to look at verse 1 down through verse number 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 1 down through verse number 5. And as I've told you a number of times, one thing that I desire as a pastor is I really want God's blessings just flowing all on your life. I really do. But there's a lot of teaching out there today that really will tell you things that you don't necessarily have to do to get God's blessings upon your life. While you're finding your way there to 2 Chronicles, I heard a preacher. I had the television on the Inspiration Channel. It was on there when it came on. There are some things that we record off of that channel. And by the way, they have some good stuff on there. You know, I'm kind of like the old school guy, too. I like to watch some of the older shows, too. And the newer ones that are good. But there was, when it came on, there was a preacher on there at that particular time. And this preacher, I don't even know his name, but he was telling the people that they need to send $1,000 to his ministry in order for them to be blessed. And in the midst of it all, he said something that is something similar to this. I won't get the exact words, but be close enough. He said, if I'm wrong, my tongue can cleave to the roof of my mouth, and all kind of things happened to him. And I sat there and I thought to myself, you better be glad God's a God of mercy. Saying that, he told some of the people, said, y'all need to sow a seed into this ministry. You've got to send it here. And he said, some of you have been saving money. He said, some of you, and he was telling them he wanted them to send $1,000 seed offering. He said, some of you have been saving up. He said, you've got $1,000 right now. You may have it, you know, he began to name different places in the bank or here at house and so forth. He said, you need to take that $1,000 and send it to me. He said, because that's your seed. And he said, if you can't believe God for the seed, then how are you going to believe him for the harvest? Now, what it is he wants your seed. And the thing that's amazing is, and the way these preachers operate, they don't tell you take your money and give it to your local church. By the way, you'll never hear this preacher stand up and tell you, this congregation, you've got to give $100, $500, or $1,000 in order for God to bless you. You will hear this preacher preach the word of God and say you ought to tithe so that God can bless you. You don't have to empty your bank account and take your money, hard-earned money, to send to somebody else's ministry so that they can ride around in a Lamborghini and so they can live in a house that has 14 and 15 bedrooms in it so that their wife can walk into a closet that has 300 shoes, as one preacher said. Or where he's got to walk up to try to determine, you know, which car he wants to drive the day out of all of his 13 or 14 different ones. You don't have to do that. But there are some things in life that you can do yourself so that God's blessings can flow upon your life and so that God can prosper you. And we're going to operate in that realm today. Don't misunderstand me. God blesses a giver. But don't let somebody swindle you into thinking that you've got to empty your bank account to send to somebody's ministry in order for God to prosper or to bless you. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And the reason why I'm even preaching on this one is because I know the younger generation who's coming up can be persuaded. And so those of us who are, and by the way, the older generation can too. Because probably no young person is going to send $1,000. It's going to be those who have jobs where they can make $1,000 or some poor person who's been saving for a long time and then will take their last bit to send to somebody like that. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, notice verse 1 down through verse number 5. It says, then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after that the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. Watch this. And as long as he sought the Lord and sent $1,000 seed offering, as long as he sought the Lord and emptied out his bank account, as long as he sought the Lord and sent it to a particular ministry, I see a comma there, but I don't see any other comments except for this. God made him to prosper. And I put the emphasis on the him, and now I'm going to read it again. God made him to prosper. I want to speak on prosperity this morning. Prosperity. Let's get some help. Father, thank you today for blessing us. Father, thank you for giving us so many things. Father, as Brother Leon was praying in his prayer to you, to thee, Father, just about our blessings. And Father, we are truly blessed today. Father, we think about Brother John and what he mentioned in his prayer. Father, we think about how you've blessed us through Christ. And then, Father, we thank you for how there have been times when we have gone through things, all of us, but we're still here. That's your blessings. And, Father, I pray that you would finger around the hearts, Father, of the young people in this building today. Father, finger around the hearts of those of us who are adults. Father, help us to leave this building changed, having a different view of you and ourselves. Father, may there become dedication, salvation, whatever is needed. Father, have your way in the service today. And again, we'll be careful to give you the praise for everything that will be accomplished. For it is in Jesus' name we do ask it. Amen. There's a young man in our text. The Bible tells us that this young man was 16 years old when he was made king. And we can look at this young man's life and we can learn some things about his life, you know, concerning prosperity. I believe that all of us want to be blessed. All of us want to prosper. All of us want God's blessings flowing upon us, not only just materially, but spiritually also. We want God's blessings flowing in our lives. If you didn't want God's blessings flowing in your life, if you did not want God to take care of you, you did not want God to give you longevity, if you did not care about God in some sense of the matter, if you did not care about yourself, then you probably would not be here today. But you are here today because you are in need of something. You're looking for something. You're trusting God to help you. And if the truth be known, I believe all of us in this building would have to say we truly want God to bless our lives and to prosper us. And so we can learn some things from this young man's life, Uzziah, concerning prosperity. I'm going to give you just about maybe three things today concerning prosperity. Number one, there's no age limit on prosperity. There's no age limit on prosperity. Notice verse number 3 of the 26th chapter. It says 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. That does not say 60. It says 16. Years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. Here was a young man who literally at the age of 16 began to reign. And God began to prosper him at the age of 16. Do you know something? God can bless you. There's no age limit on God's blessings that can begin to flow in your life. You don't have to be old to prosper. And by the way, you don't have to be an adult to prosper. By the way, you can be an adult. Whatever your age is, you're not too old for God to prosper you. God can prosper you when you're in your 50s and when you're in your 60s and when you're in your 70s and when you're in your 80s, and he can bless you when you are in your 90s. You don't have to lose sleep worrying about what the future holds if you're doing now what you need to do, because when you're doing what you're supposed to do now, the same God who's here now will be the same God in the future. And the same God who can take care of you now and bless you now can bless you in the future. Here was a young person and a young man who started giving himself in service. He was doing what he was supposed to do. He literally was seeking after God. He was doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. That's the God of heaven. As a young person, you've got to see yourself blessed by God. See yourself being prosperous. The Bible tells us that as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. The word prosper in the Hebrew means to break out, to become mighty, to be profitable. Listen, you can be a prosperous young person now. You can be a prosperous adult now. You don't have to go out and sell drugs and lie and steal and send somebody $1,000 in order to be blessed. You can be blessed now if you will sell out to God, lock, stock, and barrel. Give him your all. You have potential. I'm glad that at the age of 20, when I trusted Christ as my Savior, could have been saved as a teenager, but no one didn't know how to show me how to be saved. I asked somebody, show me. I came up, I said, I want to be saved. And all they had me do was just join the church. But thank God the Lord knew my heart. And at the age of 20 and a half, he saved my soul. By the way, this month is my birth month. Not being birthed on this earth, but praise God, being birthed into the family of God. Sister Joyce, amen. We were just talking out on the parking lot, maybe last week, week before last. And Sister Joyce was saying something about, you know, hey, you know what month this is, or something along those lines. I say, yep, just the month of trust is Christ as Savior. I got saved in March of 1980. She got saved in March of 1978. We both had the same month that we got saved. Sometime you look at the bulletin and you will see somebody's name, whatever month you were physically born. And they were physically born on that particular month. Same month is you. And you might say something to them. But hey, there's no greater birth than you can have than the new birth. Because when Jesus saves you, man, you become a new creature in Christ. And your life changes. Thank God for Jesus. But see, it doesn't just stop there. The Lord wants to bless your life. He wants to prosper you. He wants his blessings flowing upon your life. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and to have it more abundantly. You don't have to cut corners and do negative things and things that are against the Bible in order to be blessed. God can bless your life today. If you'll determine you're going to sell out to him. There's no age limit on prosperity. Don't wait until you are. I'm going to wait until I get, you know, in my 30s or in my 40s. And then I'm going to buckle down and serve God. No, start right now serving him with your life. And who knows, he may extend your life. This man was able to reign for 50 some odd years. Hey, he started young. The Bible says, remember now thy creator. In the days of thy youth, Ecclesiastes 12:1, it's time that those who are young determine you're going to sell out for God. And when you sell out for God, God will sell out for you. There's no age limit on prosperity. Secondly, there are conditions for prosperity. There are conditions for prosperity. What is the first condition? Well, the first condition has to do with time. Notice chapter 26, verse 5b. It says, as long as he sought the Lord. In other words, his prosperity went hand in hand with his seeking the Lord. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. See, there is a linear thing going on here. As long as he is continuing to follow the Lord, being faithful to the Lord, pleasing the Lord, then the Lord, and when I say Lord, L-O-R-D, in the Old Testament, that's referring to the majority of time to, of course, the God of heaven, Jehovah God, that the Lord continue to prosper him. Prosper him. See, our prosperity goes hand in hand with our following the Lord, seeking him. See, when we are seeking God, going after God, following God, serving God, then that's when he began to pour his blessings upon us. This has to do with time. See, you've got to give your time to the Lord. You got to seek him and follow him, and he will prosper you. Say, preacher, how can I seek him? You have to seek the Lord by praying to him. Learn what it is to talk to him. You have to seek the Lord by reading his word. You have to seek the Lord by being faithful to his house. Whether you want to come or whether you don't want to come, you've got to be faithful to his house. By the way, it's the same thing with the word. Whether you feel like reading the word or not, you need to get in that book. You say reading the Bible won't cause me to prosper. The only person who would say that is somebody who doesn't know the word. Because see, when you are reading this word and you are living this word, God will bless you. He'll prosper you. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe and do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way, and then thou shalt have good success. I don't even believe the Bible, or we don't. Psalm 1, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Be careful who you hang around with. Watch this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a river. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. See, when we get in this book, you're seeking God. You get up in the morning, you're seeking God. You get up in the if you get up in the afternoon, you get the book, you seek God. Whenever you get this book throughout the day and you meditate in this book and you read this book, excuse me, pardon me, don't get mad at me, but one of the very first things I grab in the morning when I get up, before I ever put food in my mouth, is this book right here. The first thing I read in the morning, I'm getting my Bible. I'm reading my Bible, and I'm not reading it to get a sermon. I'm reading it. I say, God, open my eyes and help me to behold wondrous things out of your law. I say, God, speak to my heart as I read your word today, and God's blessings flow. Hey, I'm a blessed man today. And I'm telling you, God's blessings will flow in your life. I called my wife this morning. I went to the bathroom. I said, and I thought she was in there. And then I walked around and I looked, and I saw her in the living room. Guess what she was doing? Reading the word. Reading the book. Had it on your phone. Amen. Shaking her head, yeah. By the way, I read my Bible on my phone too. I read the word here and I read it on my phone. There are times I'm just standing in line at Walmart. Hit my Bible app. Reading the word. By the way, you know what? When you're reading the word, it'll keep you from getting frustrated. You know what I'm saying? It'll keep you from getting frustrated. waiting in line when you're reading the word. And see, I'm not telling you something to try to lift up self. What I'm trying to do is encourage you to let you know that God can bless everything in your life if you determine you're going to follow him, seek after him, give him your whole heart, lock, stock, and barrel. God can bless your life. There's conditions. See, we ought to seek after him. Like I said, by being faithful to his house and by serving him. You want to be blessed and prosper. Just keep right on following the Lord. Keep right on following the Lord. Keep following the Lord. Hey, you want things to go up in your life? Follow him. You want them to go bad? Go bad in your life? Back off of some things. Stop reading your Bible. And you'll say, man, what's wrong with me? Where's my joy at? You know, joy comes through the word too. Man, why isn't things working in my life like they need to? Well, are we working in the book? See, as long, am I faithful to God's house? Am I faithful to God's house? Or do I come when it's convenient? See, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. See, here's the thing. We want God's blessings flowing in our lives. But in order for that to happen, we've got to give him our all, lock, stock, and barrel, and determine we're going to seek after him, follow him. The condition, the first condition has to do with time, as long as he sought the Lord. The second condition has to do with examples. Examples. Notice chapter 26, verse 1 down through verse number 4. In case you're taking notes, if you have the second Roman numeral, there are conditions for prosperity, then you would put subpoint number 1. The first condition has to do with time. Subpoint number 2, the second condition has to do with example. Notice chapter 26, verse 1 and verse number 4. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father, Amaziah. Keep that in mind. Amaziah. Everybody say it with me. Amaziah. Say it again. Amaziah. Now, what was his father's name? Amaziah. All right, now keep that in mind, because that's going to come up in just a little bit. All right, now, look with me at verse number 4. And he did that which was right. He's talking about Uzziah here, in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father, Amaziah, did. All right, say it again. Amaziah. All right, say it again. Amaziah. All right, so now, without looking at your Bible, what was the name of his father? Amaziah. All right, now, think about what's going on here. One must imitate the good in those who are doing right and reject the bad when somebody starts doing wrong. He was living for God. He was walking after God in the way that his father was walking. But here's the problem. When Uzziah was a teenager, we see that his father died. His father never lived to see his son get out of his teen years. Uzziah was imitating his father as far as his father living for God. But there was a problem in Uzziah's life, is that, and that is, his father at some point stopped living for God. You say, well, show me where you see that in the word, preacher. All right, look with me in 2 Chronicles chapter 25. Just look back in the next chapter, chapter 25, and notice verse 16 down through, excuse me, verse 25 down through verse 28. 2 Chronicles Chapter 25, verse 25 down through verse 28. Watch this. And Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived after the death of Joash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, 15 years. And the rest of the acts of Amaziah, first and last, behold, are they not written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel? Now, after the time that Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem. Now, after his father, what was his name?
Amaziah.
Say it again.
Amaziah.
Say it again.
Amaziah.
Did turn away from following the Lord. That's terrible. Now, watch how things went down in his life once he turned away. They made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But they sent to Lachish after him and slew him there. And they brought him upon horses and buried him with his fathers in the city of Judah. Now, understand what's happening here. Uzziah, his father, turned away from God. And when his father turned away from God, his father eventually lost his life. He changed location. But see, you can't outrun God because God is everywhere. And he changed location, but he still couldn't change the judgment that was on his life for him turning away from God. And if God ever decides, you know what, I'm just going to turn you over to yourself, whether that's a dangerous place to be, or if God becomes, who's our loving Heavenly Father, but there's also that side of him which is just. And when we turn away from him and doing what we know we ought not to do and not following him, then we lose his blessings, his protection, his control, and all of that. Now, don't misunderstand me. When I talk about control, I'm talking about where he's leading and guiding and directing. And then we open ourselves up to problems. I don't know about you. I don't need problems. Man born of a woman, days are few and full of trouble. I don't need to be adding any more on myself by turning away from God. You understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying, hey, we better look in the mirror of God's word today and say, by God's grace, hey, I'm going to give him my all. I'm not backing up. I'm shifting in the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth. I'm going forward. I'm not hitting reverse. See, his father made a tragic mistake. He turned away from God. Now, Uzziah should have learned from that. All of us in here who've been saved for a period of time, we all can probably think back and know people that we know who at one time serving God, faithful to God, loving God, and then all of a sudden they started backing off, backing off, backing off, and then things started going wrong. Things started going bad. This started to happen. You know what we have to do? We have to learn from situations like that. Now, the sad thing with Uzziah is he served for a good long time, but he followed right in his father's footsteps. He did the good, but he also did the bad. Notice chapter 26, verse 16 down through verse 21. It says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. He went into an area that God didn't intend for him to go. And I'm not going to emphasize that too much, because when I was in this passage preaching another sermon, I emphasized that. Look at verse 17. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 400 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, "It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God." All right, now we're giving him a chance. Watch verse 19. Then Uzziah was wroth. He got upset. I've emphasized this before, but I'm going to emphasize this one again. He was wroth. He got upset. The priests gave the word. They told him what he should not be doing according to the word. He knew about the book of Leviticus. He didn't have any problem. He knew that. And so now they're reiterating this to him. But instead of him humbling himself and falling on the mercy of God, he got upset. He got wroth. He got angry. One thing about a child of God who really wants God's blessings upon their life, a child of God won't get angry when the word of God is brought by the man of God, because they know that if I follow this word, the blessings will be upon my life. And they were trying to help Uzziah. By the way, I've come today to try to help all of us, because I've got a heart for you. And I want God's blessings on your life. And I want his blessings to flow on your life. And I don't want anybody walking in disobedience to God. I want God to bless your life so you can stand up sometime and give a testimony about how good God is to you. I want his blessings to flow upon your life. But watch this. Verse number 19. And then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him. And behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hastened also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king, watch this, was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Uzziah started following in his father's footsteps when his father, because his father was doing good, but he didn't learn from his father's mistake. And then once he got strong, his heart got lifted up, and then he got away from the Lord and started doing things that he should not do and operating in a realm that he should not operate in. And he was struck with leprosy, and he spent the remainder of his years in pain and isolation in a leper's house. With other lepers. How horrible. That meant that he would see fingers and parts of people's bodies and noses and ears rotting and falling off. And he spent his life like that. See, we want by the grace of God, and none of us is in control of it. God's in control of everything. But if we go out, I think we should all want to go out in a blaze of glory. Like the Apostle Paul. And not just wasting and pining away. And that doesn't mean that because someone does that, they haven't been walking in obedience to God. But I'm saying that in Uzziah's case, man, he lost the blessings. I came to tell you, seek after God. Seek after God. Don't turn away from God. The prodigal son got away from the father's house. And when he got away from the father's house, everything just started going bad. And he ended up in a hog pen. And he was in such a bad state until the Bible says he would have filled his belly with the husk that the swine had eaten. You got to look at a hog eating and say, I wish I could have that. You're in a bad state. And nobody wants to get there. Nobody wants to get there. Listen to me. That was his father who turned away. If your mother turns away and stops seeking God, young person, you keep right on seeking God. If your father turns away and stops seeking God, you keep right on seeking God. If your sister turns away and stops seeking God, you keep right on seeking God. If your brother turns away and stops seeking God, you keep right on seeking God. If your husband turns away and stops seeking God, you keep right on seeking God. If your wife turns away and stops seeking God, you keep right on seeking God. If your best friend turns away, drops out of church, stops seeking God, don't you stop. You keep right on seeking God, and God will bless your life in a mighty way and keep you. And who knows, you might live long enough to see the travail of your own soul and be satisfied. Sometimes you may have to walk alone when your friends may leave you because you have dedicated yourself to God. But I'll tell you what you do is you keep right on seeking God, and God will put the right kind of friends in your life. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Don't turn away from God. Don't turn away from him. Prosperity. There's no age limit on prosperity. I said number two, there are conditions for prosperity. And then lastly, there are the true blessings of prosperity. I had to tell you the latter end of his life. I want you to focus on the majority of his life. There are the true blessings of prosperity. We'll see it in verse 6 down through verse number 10 and verse number 15. What are the true blessings of prosperity? Subpoint number one, God helping you to become victorious. I said God helping you to become victorious, chapter 26. Notice verse 6 and verse number 7. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and brake down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. Watch this. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Jerubbaal and Mahupim. Think about it. When he was in his young days, and even as he became an adult, God's blessings was on him. God was giving him victory. And by the way, God can give us victory today. Well, if we'll seek after God, he can give you victory over those things that tried to control you. He can give you victory over situations that tried to overwhelm you. He can give you victory over things that you never thought you could conquer, but he can give you victory. There are true blessings of prosperity. What are those true blessings? Subpoint number two, God using others to bless you. God using others to bless you, chapter 26 and verse number 8. It says, and the Amorites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. The Amorites gave gifts to Uzziah. See, when you are seeking God, God will put people in your life. He'll put people in your life that can be a blessing to you. When you're seeking God, you might just be going someplace and somebody meet you and become a blessing to you. You might be going, standing in the line at a store and get to the counter, and then something happens, and then all of a sudden somebody's a blessing to you. God can put people in your life. Sometimes you can be dealing with some things and you don't even know how you're going to make it. And then God will just send somebody in and they'll just say something. They don't even know they're helping you, but they've helped you. God can use others to bless you. And then the third benefit of prosperity, blessing of prosperity is, that is God blessing and exalting you. God himself can bless and exalt you. Notice chapter 26, verse 9, verse 10, and verse 15. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. And he built towers in the desert and digged many walls, for he had much cattle, both in the low country. No, I didn't read that right. For he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, and husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel. For he loved husbandry. In other words, he loved working in the soil. He had blessings all around him. Notice verse 15. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Listen, God was truly blessing and exalting Uzziah. And by the way, he's the same God today. Same God. God can bless you. God can exalt you. But what we have to do is just keep seeking the Lord and let him prosper you. You don't have to send $1,000 to somebody's ministry. Yes, you have to tithe to your local church. Bring the tithe into the storehouse. But when you seek God, he'll bless your life. He'll prosper you. No age limit on it. There are conditions for it. And praise God, they are true blessings. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Let's bow for prayer.